It's Wednesday the 16th of December, and it's just about to go 6 p.m. and I'm just going to head outside. There's a thing happening on our street tonight where people are going to be singing some Christmas carols and we're going to be joining in. So let's set that up and see what's going on. All right. In the beginning, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. Silent night. Darkness with no vestige of a beginning, no prospect of an end. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. 200 billion galaxies that we can see, probably many more. In each galaxy, 100 billion stars. When we look up into the silent night sky, we can't help but notice the stars. The surrounding darkness just forms a backdrop. Many cultures and traditions have looked for patterns in the night sky. We have the constellations, Orion, Perseus, and Scorpius, to name a few. Humans have a knack for finding patterns. But when God told Abraham to look up at the stars, he just wanted Abraham to take in the sheer number of them. Uncountable pinpricks of light against a silent night sky. We all know that one star shines far brighter than the others. The sun. A ball of fire. 1.4 million kilometers in diameter. Its surface is 5,500 degrees Celsius. Emanating from it in all directions is a cascade of light and heat. The radiation takes 8 minutes to reach the Earth, 147 million kilometers away. But there's also a solar wind, a breath of charged particles streaming from the sun. These take 2 to 4 days to reach us. And as some of these get trapped to collide and mingle with our atmosphere, they form 2 great halos of light. The Aurora Borealis above the North Pole, and the Aurora Australis above the South Pole. The Sun is Earth's pacemaker. It rises in the east and sets in the west every day, 365 times a year. It powers the chemical reactions in every plant and tree, and these in turn sustain animals. And as the sun clothes the earth with its light, the earth begins to produce light of its own. Flashes of lightning when charges build up inside clouds. Glowworms producing luciferase, an enzyme which brings forth light. In the deep ocean, kilometers underwater, marine organisms express bioluminescence. They communicate with light where there should be none. At the surface of the ocean, bioluminescent plankton emit light when they are stirred up. It is this light which led pilot Jim Lovell to safety in 1953. He was flying an F-2H Banshee jet fighter in the dark. He needed to land on the aircraft carrier USS Shangri-La, but he couldn't see anything. When the cockpit lights failed, he noticed a trail of light left by the plankton in the wake of the ship. This trail of light led him home. Jim Lovell went on to command the Apollo 13 spacecraft, and when an explosion on board threw the mission into disaster, the brilliant minds on board and back on Earth decided to use the sun to realign the craft. The 3 men returned safely to Earth. Jim Lovell knows the importance of light, and so did his ancestors. For centuries, fire was our source of light during silent nights. We discovered that the wax sculpted in beehives was the perfect material for candles. And to this day, we light candles to remember those we have lost. We passed electric currents through filaments of tungsten, a metal with a high melting temperature. When metals are hot enough, they glow. And so the light bulb came to be. Light leads us home, and light tells our stories. Cave paintings would be illegible without the flickering of a fire. Stained glass windows would be blank without the sunlight streaming through them. Our cinemas would be nothing if the projector had no light to pass through the celluloid. We use light all the time. It sustains us and it guides us, entertains us and transforms us. But our relationship with light is also complicated. We see its goodness, but we are afraid of what it might expose. The burglar operates in the dark. Schemes are drawn up behind closed doors. Secrets are locked away in safes. When you roll over a rock, the woodlice rush to get under it again, back into the darkness and damp it offers. Like an aeroplane perpetually outrunning the dawn in a long-haul flight. At times, we are overwhelmed by the darkness. And we understand how much we need light. At Christmas, we turn on extra lights. We punctuate the darkness with as much light as we can. And in spring, we rejoice as the longer days begin to return. From the very beginning, God's people were guided by light. God appeared to Moses in a burning bush. Moses went on to lead God's people out of captivity. Elijah called out to God, and God answered with fire. He answered with light. But time and time again, the world grasped at darkness. Darkness seemed to have the upper hand. in the darkest of times, Isaiah spoke of a great light to come. Centuries went by. Where was this light? The darkness seemed overwhelming. But the sun rose in the east and set in the west, as it always had. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands, sang David. The world was never destined to a perpetual descent into darkness. There was always going to be a light on earth. And not only that, but the source of light himself. And when he showed up, he did so in the most unlikely of places. A baby in a manger. In a blaze of light, angels appeared to shepherds nearby, directing them to the baby. A star led wise men from the east to the child. It was as if all light converged on him. But does light converge on the sun? No, it's the other way round. The sun is the source of light. Light flows from the sun. That's what Christmas is. The source of all light and life entered the world on a silent night. And when we addressed him with darkness, he answered with light. Am I interrupting?
No, don't worry. Hello.
I'm recording.
Oh, cool.
Can I join you?
Go for it.
Why are you recording?
I'm just doing an outro for the Christmas podcast.
Nice.
I'm here with my brother Thomas.
Hello.
Are you okay just to launch straight into this?
Yeah.
Well, it's good to see it on the fly sometimes, isn't it? Yeah, it is the... What's the day today? Is it now? It's the 23rd of December, isn't it?
Yep.
Day before Christmas Eve.
Eve of Christmas Eve.
And what are you actually watching?
Krampus.
What is Krampus?
It's a Christmas film. Christmas horror film. Very interesting. Watching it as part of a sort of little film club I do with friends from uni. Anyway, sorry.
No, fair enough. A family starts to lose its Christmas spirit and is soon terrorised by a demon destined to punish those who don't give the holiday its proper due.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
The joy of Christmas.
maybe we should do an episode at some point about films.
Yeah.
You love films, don't you? That's your big passion.
Yeah, absolutely. And I am fascinated by horror films, actually, because I think they really get home the idea that evil is kind of a twisting of something that's good. So here we've got, obviously, Christmas is a good thing, and then evil is just the idea that you're taking that good thing and twisting it,
yeah,
as part of the story. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
The reason I wanted to talk to you was because you wrote the thing that the listeners have just heard, and I was wondering if you could maybe give a little bit of background to that.
Yeah,
because it's quite out there.
I'm glad you say so. I mean, it's, I think, yeah, often when we tell the Christmas story, we really focus on how humble it is that Jesus was born in a stable, in a kind of, in the middle of nowhere, effectively, to lowly people. And that's obviously a very powerful aspect of the story. But I think perhaps what we focus on less is just how it is an event of cosmic significance. So I suppose what I was trying to bring across was the kind of epic operatic quality of the Christmas story.
Well, thanks for writing it, and
thank you
to you, the listeners, for being here and for checking out this podcast in 2020. I really do appreciate you listening. Obviously, if you weren't listening, it would just kind of be me chatting into the void. So, yeah, thanks for lending your ears in 2020. I think there's some exciting episodes coming up in 2021 as well. More conversations with people, more reflections like the one that you've heard today, and some adventures as well. If you want to find out more about the podcast, you can go to podpage.com/pilgrim and you can see all the different episodes there filtered by those three categories. So conversation, reflection, and adventure. And you can also find out more about why I'm doing this podcast and what it kind of means to me. There's an exciting episode coming out in 2 weeks' time, actually, which will be the first episode of 2021. Have I told you about that one, Thomas?
I think you might have mentioned it.
go on, how would you... It's quite a big name, isn't it? Well, not, it's someone who was in a film in 2020. Probably one of the most talked about films of 2020.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll leave it at that.
You've baited it, haven't you?
It's a good conversation. I enjoyed having that. So that'll be in 2 weeks' time and many more to follow. So I think all that remains to be said is Merry Christmas. Thank you for listening. Really do appreciate you. You're amazing. And although this has been a really tough year, thank you for being here, for listening to the podcast. Do you want to wish the listeners Merry Christmas as well?
Merry Christmas.
Nice. And I'll see you in 2021. God bless. Bye-bye.